Amen. Call your attention this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I say, well, preacher, Easter's already passed. Well, that's okay. I don't need a holiday to preach about the resurrection. But really, the resurrection is just how we want to start. But since we've had a wonderful lesson this morning with regard to these paths of righteousness, I'm going to take what we've been taught this morning and I'm going to make a practical application of that. The Lord leads us by His Spirit. We need to be listening. And as we pray, we need to be mindful and try to discern how the Lord is leading us. But He also has given us His Word. And this is truth that describes the paths that we should take. And there's a lot of warnings in here. Don't go down that path. It'll be trouble. And this word tells us that if you're wise, you'll follow that good way. And if you're foolish, you'll suffer the consequences of going that other way. See, it's very practical, isn't it? That's what life is all about. There's a lot of things I know now that I wish somebody had drilled into me earlier in life. And I say drilled into me because some of our discussion this morning we touched on the fact that, you know, sometimes, and we've all been there, not being critical of anybody particularly, I'm just saying we've all been there. There have been times in our lives when we had all the answers. Don't bother to tell me that. I know it. Anyway, this is the truth. This will lead us in the right path every time. So if you're wondering how we can go from the resurrection to these paths, well, if you look at that very last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, it's a very, very practical lesson based upon the glorious truth of the resurrection of our Lord. I mean, how glorious is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Friend, you can't even get any better than that. It's the message that turned the world upside down. I mean, how much power does God have? All right, I'll take that. He has all of it. But how much power did God need to raise the dead? See, can anything else be greater than that? I mean, there's a lot of things that God's created, and there's a lot of things that happens in this world. There's a lot of tremendous forces at work in this world. But I'm going to tell you something, when all is said and done, we live our lives, and there comes a time when we'll breathe out our last. But our Lord and Savior not only told us, but He showed us He has power over death. How much safer can you be to be with the one who knows us, who loves us, who watches over us, who protects us, who leads us, and in the end can raise these bodies at least, from the dead. There's so much that's taught in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, and I don't want to get too much into that, but I do want to read a few verses. And I'm going to begin in verse 50. Hope you found 1 Corinthians 15 by now. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We'll have to be changed. God has the power to do that. Some of his people, their bodies are in the grave, and their soul and spirits have gone home to be with the Lord. Many of them have been there for centuries, millennia. Some of God's people are going to be alive and remain when Jesus comes again. There won't be a need to raise their body, but there'll still be a need to change. Because we'll all be changed. Even Job. Don't you love the character of Job in the Old Testament? The tremendous experience that he went through. The suffering that he endured. And yet, Job, when his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He said, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil?" He also said, "In all this, Job," or the scripture says, "In all this, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly." But yet Job said, "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, that's going to be quick. And as I understand what the scriptures say about that, if you've got time to think about it and ask questions about it, it's not happening. Somebody would say, "Well, you know, we're talking about the resurrection and when the Lord comes back, and folks wonder just, you know, how all that's going to be. Some even say he's coming back to reign for 1,000 years. I don't find that in scripture. I know there's some language in Revelation 20 about that, but that's not talking about him coming back here physically and being here for 1,000 years. What's going to happen, Paul says, in a moment, he says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And it's going to happen in an instant. Or as he says, in a moment. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Aren't you thankful? I mean, would you want to take this body to heaven? Oh, I'm sorry, would you want this body to be carried to heaven? You're not going to take it anywhere. Would you want this body to be carried to heaven? To be in this body forever? No. God's got something far better for us. We're going to be changed. We're going to be fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious body. He said, "This corruptible must put on." I'm sorry. He said, let's go ahead with that. Verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." You know, we spend all our lives seeing our loved ones pass the scene of this life, and it looks like to us that they're swallowed up of death. Because that's all we can see, this side of glory. It seems like death is victorious, you know, and they're swallowed up in that. But he says at that time, death is swallowed up in victory. Why? Because of the resurrection. Because of what Jesus did for us. Because he came to save his people from their sins. When he died for all of his people. When he rose again for all of his people. He paid our sin debt. Bless your hearts. We find then that death is going to be for God's people. Death is going to be swallowed up in victory. "O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. In other words, the poison that brought death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The soul that sinneth shall die. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, we can live the rest of our lives praising his holy name for all that he's done for us. And if he never did anything more for us than what he's already done, that's enough. That's enough for us to praise him in all eternity. That he died and he paid our sin debt. He saved us from the wrath to come. Because what Paul addresses here is what's going to happen to God's people. He doesn't touch on the fact that those that are not God's people and what's going to happen. You got to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 to find that. But Paul is interested in God's people because there's going to be a practical admonition when he finishes this doctrinal statement about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that he's going to make a statement about how we should live our lives for the rest of our days because of what Jesus has done for us. Because of what God did through sending his Son to save us from our sins, that requires, demands, however you want to put it, it's just right, for if we're blessed to understand that glorious truth, then our life ought to be a life of praise and thanksgiving to his holy name as long as we live. All right? So how do we accomplish that? How do we find that path? How do we go down that path? Well, he gives us some practical application right there, the last verse of this chapter. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren. Now, I'm sure Paul literally loved the brethren. No doubt about that. But this is just not a statement of Paul's feelings. This is the inspired word of God. All right? So this is not just advice from the Apostle Paul. This is the truth of God's word that will do you good if you'll take heed to it. If you ignore it, that's being foolish. And it's not going to be as well as with you as it could have been. All right? So therefore, my beloved brother, because the Apostle Paul loved the brethren, and not only was he sending this epistle, this letter, to the brethren at Corinth, and it, no doubt it was it was good for them, it's still good for us today. This is the inspired word of God. It's good for us. We need to be reading this word on a daily basis. We need to be just eating it up, if you will. Consuming it so that it'll do us good. And the way you digest it is by understanding, right? And sometimes we need understanding when we're reading the Word of God. Well, guess what? I got two suggestions for you. First of all, first and foremost, when you're reading the Word of God, approach it prayerfully. Ask the Lord to give you the understanding you need. The Lord knows your circumstances. The Lord knows what you're going to be facing. The Lord knows what's ahead. The Lord knows where you've been. He knows all about us. We can't acquaint him with anything. But it pleases him for us to ask him to open our heart and mind. I appreciated that in the prayer this morning. To open our heart and mind to the things of God. And give us the wisdom to follow the leadership of his Spirit. All right? So we need the Spirit of God, but we also need this word. We need to treasure up this word. You know, what did David say? Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. All right? So if we hide his word, and if we know his word, and if we follow his word, and if we make his word our guide in this life, then it will help us in getting down that path of righteousness, won't it? And there are many paths, all right? Well, let's look at this path, all right? I spent a lot of time laying the foundation here, but therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, how can that be a path? Well, first thing he says is, be ye steadfast. By the way, he says, be. Don't skip over that little word. It's an admonition, isn't it? Let me put it this way. It's exhorting us to be more than we are sometimes. When we're heeding the word of God, we're walking in the right way, aren't we? If we're not taking heed to the word of God, we're going down the wrong path. So the first thing he says here is, be ye steadfast. In other words, know what this word says and stand on it. Don't move away from it. Now, it's not saying not to go down further on the path, but I'm just saying there's to be steadfast is to have an understanding and an appreciation and a reverence for the word of God that it's right. Whether I understand it fully or not, it is right. And if I'll follow that, it'll be the best thing for me. And I recommend, you know, there's things, well, he says, be ye steadfast. Okay, so you're going to come to a place in life sometime where somebody's going to tempt you to think a different way or to make a decision to take your life in another way, whatever the case might be. You're going to come to that fork in the road, if you will. Now, don't be like Mickey Mantle. You know, Mickey Mantle, is that right? Yeah, Mickey, I think it's Mickey. He had some sayings that was kind of funny, but there was a wit to it. One of them was, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. I guess you'd have to be double-minded to do that. When you come to that place where you've got to make a decision, you want that decision to honor the Lord for his name's sake. Absolutely. We want our witness to be, we're God-fearing people. We want to live according to the word of God. We want to follow him in ways of righteousness, paths of righteousness, whatever the case might be. We want to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord. And not only do we want to do those things, but that's how we let our light shine. It's not going around to everybody saying, I'm a born-again Christian. You know, you need to be like me. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is like you've heard me say that quote by Sir Francis of Assisi. You know, we need to preach the gospel everywhere we go, and if necessary, use words. In other words, let our footsteps, let our decisions, let our choices, let our lifestyle, let our affections, let all of those things where we have choices about things, let those things be guided by the word of God so that we will please God for his name's sake. That our witness will be a godly witness in this world. Don't we need more of that? This world is a dark place at times. There's places, you know, we need more of the light shining forth from the lives of God's people. It'll be a blessing to us. It'll bring glory to his name. And that's the bottom line as far as being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to bring glory to his name out of thanksgiving for all that he's done for us, especially in dying for us and rising again after 3 days. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. You know, when the Apostle Paul experienced that shipwreck where they were in the great storm, Acts 27, in that great storm that they were in, and they came upon a place where two seas met, and they ran the ship aground. And it said the ship stuck and was unmovable. Same word here. Same idea here. If we know something's right because God's word says so, don't move away from it. Stand upon it. Now that means sometimes you might not be very popular. Okay, we accept that. But who do you want to please above all else? We want to please God. We want to be faithful to Him. We want to be faithful to His word. As a matter of fact, it's sometimes it's a matter of life and death. Choose life and live. Because those other paths will lead us away from God. Death is a separation. All right? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Get the thought here. Always, continuously, abounding. Not just scarcely. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just now and then. Always abounding. Let me ask you a question. Is there any day you've ever lived that wasn't worth thanking God? Is there any time you ever faced in your life where it wasn't worth honoring God? You know the answers to those questions. No. There is never a time that it's not appropriate to be thankful to God, to honor God, to love God, to do what's right. That's the bottom line, isn't it? That's the path we want to take. And every time we come to a choice, every time we come to a fork in the road, following God is what's going to honor Him and be a blessing in your life. But going against His will is not. Be ye steadfast. If we're not steadfast in the faith, we're not honoring the Lord like we should. When we're steadfast upon this truth, then we can go with that way and be blessed and be a blessing to others. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always abounding. Now I know that you've got jobs, you've got responsibilities, you've got times when you've got to attend to whatever you've got to do because we have responsibilities in life. But even while you're doing that, you can have a godly attitude, can't you? You can have a thankful heart. You can be praising the Lord with your spirit, all right? So it's not a matter of always having our total mental energies focused on these things, but it certainly is maintaining a thankful heart and a thankful attitude of gratitude, is what we like to hear, or we hear a lot of today. Thankfulness. Thankful to God, not just to some impersonal force, but thankful to God, because He's the one who blesses us every day. He's the one that's given us His Spirit. He's the one that leads us in these paths. And so always abounding in the work of the Lord, all right? Doing right, loving one another, helping one another. If you see someone in need, if you've got the ability to do something about it, do it. Somebody often will say, well, if I share some of what I've got, I might not have enough for next week. Well, the same God that blessed you with what you got now can bless you next week. When we look at what God has for us to do, as much as He's blessed us in so many ways, and we don't have time to get into a lot of specifics, but I want to point out a pattern here. I want to go to several passages. We're talking about always abounding in the work of the Lord. All right? John chapter 8. I might could quote some of these, but I want to take the time. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Continuing in his word. Isn't that what we've been talking about? He would have us, if we're going to be his disciple, he would have us to continue in his word. Sounds like to me, a little bit like Paul said to the Corinthians, always abounding. If we continue in his word. Now there's a lot there as far as understanding who he is and realizing how worthy he is to be trusted and committing our lives to serving him. If we continue in his word, then are we his disciples indeed. Later on in John 15, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You see, there's instruction there on what we should be doing that constitutes being a disciple of his. In John 13, Jesus said, if ye know, now this was applying to the feet washing, but it's a principle that we can apply to other things. If ye know these things, he said, and we know a lot, don't we? We know a lot about the word of God. We know a lot about the paths of righteousness. We know a lot about things that are good and pleasing to the Lord. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. There's a joy, a blessing, which happy and blessing oftentimes can be interchanged when you encounter that in the New Testament. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, just stop for just a second and think about how much from this word we know, but we aren't really applying. Maybe I'll give you that for homework. Because think about it now. When you're reading through the Word of God, there may be some things, you know, for instance, it's very easy to talk about the subject of forgiveness. We may know what the Bible says about our responsibility to forgive. Even Jesus on the cross, one of the first thing we have recorded that he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking about forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, that's big. The reason we have forgiveness is for Jesus' sake. So my point is, we may know some things about forgiveness, but are we really applying it the way we should? There's a fork in the road. If we forgive one another, we can follow that path of righteousness. If we harbor unforgiveness, we're going in the wrong direction. And you can take that and you can apply that to all these truths, these principles, these facets of truth that Brother Thomas was talking about. As you read the Word of God, one of the things that you ought to ask yourself when you're reading and studying the Word of God is, am I obeying this verse? You know, ask the Lord to help you with understanding of what it means, what the implication is, and then ask the Lord to help you to see whether or not you're obeying that principle or that verse of Scripture. Each one of those, each time we come to a place of choices, there's God's way and there's the way of the flesh. May God help us to choose God's way. May God help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To be in vain means empty, unprofitable. serving the Lord is never empty. It is never unprofitable. Because God sees, he knows, and he is the one who dispenses blessings. If we're honoring him, he knows that. Now, I didn't say that honoring him is always going to be easy. When you're talking about temptations and trials and heartaches and those kind of things, I mean, sometimes life is tragic. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes it takes us a while to deal with some of these things. But the paths of righteousness, choosing God's way, going in the way or making the choice that would be most honoring to the Lord will always be a blessing. And so based upon the greatest truth of Scripture of the resurrection of our Lord, he says, if you know, in my words, if you know that, if you rejoice in the fact that Jesus arose from the dead, then bless your hearts, let's live like it. Let's make choices like it. Let's follow the desires of our heart that would be pleasing to the Lord and let that light shine and be a good example to others. Be salt. Have a preserving influence. Have a seasoning influence on the things with our family, with our friends, with our workplace, wherever we might be. If we're walking in the paths of righteousness, if we're serving the Lord, if we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God sees everything we do for his glory. He knows what we need. May God help us to choose that way which will bring glory and honor to his matchless name. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. If we're going to be always abounding, then we're going to have to be mindful and intentional, right? You know, wasn't Daniel that way? He thought ahead of time. I'm going to quit here just quickly. But, you know, to be always abounding means you've got to be intentional. Like Daniel. Daniel thought about, we're in captivity. We're under the rule of a heathen nation. They may call upon us to do things that's going to violate the law of God. And I don't want to do that. And so Daniel purposed in his heart, before those temptations came, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. He purposed in his heart. If we're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we're going to have to purpose in our heart right now, before your day starts, and every day that comes, we're going to have to purpose in our heart that we're going to please God as best we can. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. You need the Lord's help. Ask him. He's happy to help you. May God bless you is our prayer.